live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, 12 additional COVID-19 related deaths have been confirmed this evening, 1,620 new cases also confirmed. Donegal now has the second highest incidence rate of COVID-19 in the country. Monaghan has overtaken it in the tables this evening. The head of the HSE says the sharp rise in hospital admissions is extremely concerning. Meanwhile, north of the border, the Ulster Teachers Union welcomes the decision to delay the return to school classrooms in Northern Ireland by a week. And we'll have a special farming programme this evening looking at the impact of Brexit on agriculture. That special farming news and views with Chris Ashmore coming up at around 5:15 or shortly afterwards. Before that, of course, we'll have the sports news, and this evening that will be in the company of Kenny Harkin. But we begin with COVID-19 this evening and confirmation that 12 additional COVID-19 related deaths have been confirmed this evening with 1,620 new cases. Nationally, it brings to 2,237 the number of COVID related deaths, while the total number of cases since the pandemic began now stands at 91,779, 490 coronavirus patients being treated in hospital, of whom 42 are in intensive care. Donegal's total today was 51, down substantially on yesterday's high of 150. The 14-day incidence rate in the county is 532.1 cases per 100,000 people. For the first time in several weeks, Donegal doesn't have the highest incidence rate in the country. Monaghan now has a rate of 553.9. The national incidence rate is 296.7. More details on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, the head of the HSE says the sharp rise in COVID-19 hospital patients is extremely concerning. Paul Reid says the rate of transmission has been on the rise over the Christmas period.
Some of the centres that we are testing in, I mean, overall we said yesterday our positivity rate is about 10%, that's nationally. But there are days, there's been days just this week, where it's 20%. Some of our testing centres in the country were saying between a 25 and a 50% positivity rate coming through the test centres. So we are at alarming levels.
With the prospect of New Year's parties tonight, the Chief Medical Officer is urging people to cut their number of contacts as much as possible to slow the spread of COVID-19. Dr. Tony Holohan says the country has arrived in a place where it shouldn't be.
We've seen a very significant increase in the number of contacts, as you rightly say, on average per person. And yes, some of those individual contacts or cases, generating very large numbers of contacts. So clearly there are some people out there who are simply not in any way following the basic public health advice in terms of minimising social contacts. When you have a case and you're able to identify 20 and 30 contacts, this is just a place, as it were, we shouldn't be.
Gardaí say they'll be carrying out high visibility checkpoints from today following the introduction of new COVID-19 restrictions. They say they'll be patrolling key public areas, including parks and recreational facilities. Under current restrictions, people shouldn't leave their homes except for essential journeys or for outdoor physical exercise within 5 kilometres of their home. Gardaí are reminding people that travel restrictions don't apply in the case of anyone experiencing domestic violence or escaping the risk of harm. HSE officials in Donegal are asking the government to add St Columbkill's village in Cliath-Clonmany to the list of centres set to receive the first round of vaccinations. The non-appearance of the centre on the list was questioned by local councillor Albert Doherty. He's now been told by the HSE the exclusion was because the centre is classified under mental health rather than older persons services. The HSE locally is now asking the government to amend that. The Ulster Teachers Union has welcomed a decision to delay the return to school classrooms north of the border by a week. Most students will be taught remotely next week rather than go back to school after Christmas, while vulnerable children and the children of key workers will be accommodated in school premises. The North's Education Minister, Peter Weir, says remote learning will continue throughout January for years 8 to 11 in secondary schools. Last night, the Taoiseach confirmed that schools in the Republic will return on January 11th rather than January 4th. Well, in Northern Ireland, the head of the Ulster Teachers Union, Stephen McCord, says the change in policy is welcome.
We must continue to be guided by the medical and scientific advice. We have to get the R number down, and we must ensure that our pupils, teachers and education workers are safe in schools.
Other news, and the UK's post-Brexit trade deal with the European Union takes effect from tonight. It was signed into law in the early hours of this morning after passing through the House of Commons. For farmers and processors in Donegal, some changes will become evident. Fiona O'Neill is markets and EU specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. He says while day-to-day farming will not change, apart from cross-border transactions, the processing sector will face additional and immediate challenges.
And day-to-day business, week one won't be any dramatic change. It will, however, be a dramatic change for the creameries and for the meat factories that are processing product and selling it across to Britain. They will have to do veterinary health certificates and they will also have to do customs declarations. So there is a new layer of red tape that immediately comes into effect tomorrow for Donegal factories.
Well, Fiona O'Neill was speaking to Chris Ashmore for a special Farming News and Views that'll be later on in this bulletin, looking at the impact of the Brexit deal on agriculture in Donegal and asking the question, what will farmers notice over the coming days and weeks? That's coming up, as we say, shortly after 5:15. A Finn Valley councillor says it's important that the Environmental Protection Agency becomes closely involved in discussions relating to a landslide at a wind farm construction site close to Barnesmore Gap. Last month's incident at Mean Bog brought thousands of tonnes of peat and trees down the hillside and into the River Finn. The Belfast Telegraph is reporting this week that EPA inspectors visited the site before Christmas and are now considering legal action. Well, the EPA has told Highland Radio at present it's not considering such a move. A spokesperson said the agency is the competent authority for the Environmental Liabilities Directive and is currently investigating the landslide to see whether the damage falls within its thresholds. Local councillor Gary Doherty says the agency's involvement is very important.
I was one of the people that would have called for the EPA to be on site and carrying out investigations and taking action against the developers if they found that the developers were liable for the bog site that occurred at Mean Bog. And I think most observers would have definitely felt that the huge development works that were ongoing are bound to have had consequences as regards to the bog slide that occurred in November. So it's very welcome news that the EPA are being proactive.
A Donegal councillor says increased north-south cooperation in the area of health may provide a blueprint for United Ireland. This week once again saw ambulance crews from the Republic provide cover and support to the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. Councillor Micheál Colum-Gilleaspach says this is to be welcomed, but it's not enough to simply encourage more cooperation between ministers and announce more joint programmes. He says COVID and Brexit have both shown that what's nearly necessary is a single all-Ireland Department of Health.
It's encouraging to see the HSE and NIAS talking and co-working with each other. I believe that what we need is a One Ireland approach to our health service. What we need is a separate department and working towards the health of the island as a whole. I think this would be in the best interest of all the people who live in Ireland. Interesting time, certainly, with the breakup of the UK from the EU. And the discussions that were happening and the conversations that were happening in Westminster yesterday and the speeches, and some were suggesting that the end of the Brexit campaign, and now we see the start of a campaign to try to save the union. This is a discussion that I believe that working class communities need to have right across the 32 counties, and I think it creates a great opportunity for us to discuss how a united Ireland would look, how a united Ireland controlled by the working classes would be of benefit.
One of the guarantees that was given during the Brexit negotiations was that the health cooperation would be maintained and would not be in any way compromised or diluted. From your point of view, though, that's not quite enough.
No, I don't think it is enough. It's very clear that the vast majority of people within the 32 counties wish to see a progressive United Ireland, a 32-county Ireland. We're a very small island, and I think as all working-class people who work together progressively, we can achieve a far better island than what we have at the moment.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports in Letterkenny. Find all you need for getting fit in 2021 in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
5:10, and we say good evening to Kenny Hawken.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Manchester United striker Edinson Cavani has been banned for 3 games and fined £100,000 over a comment he posted on social media. The Uruguayan deleted the Instagram message, which was in response to a friend, after it was pointed out the Spanish phrase used in it could be racially offensive. Cavani has apologised, but must also attend an education course, and the next game he'll be available for United will be against Burnley in the Premier League. Meanwhile, United today triggered the 1-year extension clause in Jesse Lingard's contract to keep him at the club until 2022. Wolves boss Nuno Espirito Santo has been charged with improper conduct following his recent criticism of referee Lee Mason. Santo questioned the official's ability to take charge of games in the Premier League after their defeat to Burnley earlier this month. He also said he hoped he wouldn't take charge of one of their games again. Speaking a few days after the game at Turf Moor, he refused to back down.
I will not apologise on my words and my thoughts. I never ever will judge or question the integrity of a referee. I never did it in my life. But what I said is about the ability of the referee.
He has until next Tuesday to respond to the charge. Johnny Evans has signed a new contract with Leicester City until the end of 2023 season. The Northern Ireland defender's deal was due to expire next summer. It could have left him free to discuss terms over moving to another club from tomorrow if he hadn't agreed an extension. Elsewhere, American investors ALK Capital have completed their takeover of Burnley. The company's acquired an 84% controlling stake in the Premier League club, describing it as the start of a new era for the Lancashire side. And Shanad Kolasinac will leave Arsenal to join Schalke on loan until the end of the season. The defender moved to North London from the German team in June 2017. Up in Scotland, Stephen Robinson has resigned as manager of Motherwell. The 2-0 defeat by Kilmarnock last night extended their winless run in the Scottish Premiership to 9 matches. In some other news, former Scotland manager Tommy Doherty has died, aged 92. He started his playing career at Celtic in the 1940s before going on to make over 300 appearances for Preston. Doherty began his managerial career at Chelsea, where he won the League Cup and lifted the FA Cup as Manchester United boss. His family say he passed away following a long illness. In horse racing, there was a 7-race card at Punchestown this afternoon. The feature race of the day, the Tote.ie Punchestown Hurdle, was won by the Willie Mullins trained Batchison after going off the 1-3 odds-on favourite. The 9-year-old was ridden to victory by Paul Townend. And former Grand National winning jockey Niall Slippers Madden has retired from horse riding. The Kildare native enjoyed success in the biggest stage, where he gated number 6 Valverde to Grand National glory at Aintree in 2006. And it's a rest day today at the darts, and Dave Chisnell, he'll face world number 1 Michael van Gerwen in the quarterfinals of the PDC World Darts Championship. He defeated Dimitri van den Berg at Alexandra Palace last night. Third seed Gerwen Price, he'll face Derry's Daryl Gurney in the last 8 after defeating Mervyn King. Gary Anderson and Dirk Divenboder will take on each other in the next round after both winning yesterday. The action resumes tomorrow, New Year's Day, with the quarterfinals. Finally, for this evening in tennis, Andy Murray has pulled out of what was due to be his first tennis tournament of the season in Florida next week. The former world number 1 has had accepted a wild card into the Delray Beach Open. Murray will now travel straight to Australia in mid-January before a period of quarantine prior to the Australian Open, which starts on February the 8th. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, close contacts of confirmed COVID-19 cases are no longer being asked to get tested. They will still have to restrict their movements for 14 days and contact their GP if they have symptoms. The change of policy was announced this evening by the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan. He says it's necessary to protect testing capacity.
The disease is now at a point where we don't have the control that we can regard ourselves in a containment phase any longer. We have to take, as it were, mitigation activities and then ensure that the enormous resources that we've built up over the course of the last number of months, whether that's in terms of contact tracing capacity, whether in terms of testing capacity in the labs, or whatever it may be, is directed to the most effective and most important actions.
You're listening to the evening news on Highland Radio on this New Year's Eve. Time now for a special Brexit deal episode of Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, after 4.5 years, Brexit has finally arrived. From tomorrow, a new EU-UK trade deal takes effect, so trade will continue without tariffs or quotas. But what exactly does it mean for Donegal farmers, and what actual changes can they expect? Earlier today, I spoke with Phelan O'Neill, who is no stranger to Donegal. The Tyrone man is the markets and EU specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Phelan, many thanks for joining us. I suppose one of the first things that Donegal farmers are wondering is just what changes will they see in the first week of January with the new arrangements in place?
Yes, Chris. Today is the last day of trading with the UK as part of the Single Market and Customs Union. Now, for farmers in everyday farming business, buying and selling the cattle at their local mart, having their milk sent to the local creamery, nothing will be immediately obvious now, because it'll be different, of course, for farmers that maybe have been bringing, the example is talked about often, sweet potatoes in from Scotland, or if they indeed would go across the water to buy a bull or to perhaps buy a ram for their sheep flock. In that case, there will be a 6-month quarantine period, and that will be the first thing. So, in day-to-day business, week one, Chris, it won't be any dramatic change. It will, however, be a dramatic change for the creameries and for the meat factories that are processing product and selling it across to Britain. They will have to do veterinary health certificates for any goods of animal origin, that is meat or dairy products. And they will also have to do customs declarations. So there is a new layer of red tape that immediately comes into effect tomorrow for Donegal factories and factories in any other part of the European Union that wants to export to Britain. That is the first change. That brings with it a cost. Now, it is a bit of a hidden cost in that it won't immediately be reflected in beef price. In fact, I think the cattle price looks particularly good at the minute. It might even creep up a little bit in the first week of the new year. But the reality is it adds a processing cost of somewhere between 10 and 12 cent a kilo on beef, and somewhere around 1.2 cent per litre on milk. So those are a hidden cost that will be there for the industry. Now, some of it may well be absorbed at factory level, some of it will be absorbed at the market, and of course the farmer will get to pay their share of it as well. The bottom line is the Christmas Eve agreement, Chris, has meant that it won't be as dramatic immediately for farmers as it otherwise would have been if there'd been no deal.
Well, just in relation to that bureaucracy, and obviously it's going to mean more labour for those firms involved, it may even lead to the creation of a couple of extra posts to cope with it all.
Absolutely, there will be extra administration posts created, and I know at Dublin Port, for example, several hundred people have been employed to do the inspection process on goods coming in from Britain, because don't forget, this works both ways. It's not an area that business is particularly enthusiastic about, and certainly not farmers, but look, it's going to be the cost of doing business. The other thing, whilst we're all relieved that we did get a deal of some sort, and it's a very basic deal that's been put in place on Christmas Eve, farmers and everyone else is relieved with that. But look, the reality is the UK now is going out into the world to make its own trade agreements with the big agri-food exporting countries. We're thinking of Australia, New Zealand, South American countries. We're thinking of Canada, United States. And as they do the deals with those countries, that is going to increase the competition for imported product in the British marketplace. And that's a marketplace that Ireland have almost had exclusively to ourselves at this stage. Like, we're supplying almost 80% of the beef that they import. We supply, I think, almost 90% of the cheddar cheese that they import. So we are going to face, within a medium time format, we'll see the first signs of that within the next 12 months, but certainly within the next 5 years, we would expect the British marketplace to be a lot more competitive for Irish exporters going in there, and that is bound to weaken the value of that market, and that's going to be a price squeeze that'll come back on to Irish farmers and say it won't hit them in the first week of January, but by the end of the year, we could be starting to see the effects of that.
So will the British consumer see more Argentinian and Brazilian beef, and does that mean necessarily that we have to really push the green nature of our product and the traceability that's there?
Yes, and again, it brings us back, and recently we've had quite a bit of debate around this application for a PGI, as it's called, and that effectively gives a branding, an EU-recognised branding to Irish beef, and it allows it to be actively promoted in the marketplace. So, yes, that is something that we can work on. We also have the advantage that there is none of our competitors that are as geographically close. So, I suppose, in terms of trying to stay positive about this, that is something that we have very much going for us. But we can't get away from the reality. If you're dealing with a trader in Britain and he's quoting to you, well, if I've actually had somebody ringing me from Australia or emailing me or text me from Australia with a price of that's €2 a kilo less than what you're offering me. Now, he'd say, look, I'm not going to ask you to take €2 a kilo less, but I'm going to ask you to take €1 a kilo less. And I suppose that's how basic negotiations go on, and how the Irish price will in time get squeezed by the availability of a whole range of products offerings on in the UK market that haven't been there up until now. The other thing that we shouldn't overlook, of course, in the context of the whole Brexit debate is, and given Donegal's proximity to the border with the north, the withdrawal agreement, and that was reinforced a few weeks ago there before this negotiation, it means that basically business cross-border on the island of Ireland can continue as it was before. You know, in other words, if Northerners want to keep sending their sheep south, which they will, and their milk into southern creameries for processing, and if we want to send cattle from the south, north, and the pigs that we do, then that can continue as before. And similarly, product can trade, whether it's processed or in its livestock state, it can still continue. So that is something that has to be of some relief to farmers as well.
So to make it clear, somebody going across the border with a trailer with cattle or sheep, they're not going to be stopped. There's not going to be paperwork at that point.
Well, no more than what they've had before. They've had the issue, always you've had to have veterinary documentation. That has been an animal health control procedure that has been in place, and that predated the Brexit. That's something that has been there all the time that both have been part of the European Union. But no, in terms of trade, the farmers in Donegal that want to bring their cattle to a factory in Omagh or Dungannon or wherever, that option will still be on the table.
For the end producer, in terms of prices, are we expecting that the market will be distorted as a result of Britain being out of the EU?
We don't expect anything dramatic to happen in prices. There may be a difficulty with the importers that perhaps brought speciality products in from Britain, and we're thinking of perhaps the speciality meats, that's the salamis, etc. There is no certificate to allow those to come in a fresh state. They can come in frozen. So there might be some little bit of restriction on product choice. Other things, breakfast cereal, etc., they will be subject to the same bureaucracies we have talked about there for Irish exports going to Britain. So we'll have to deal with that. But I think those will be manageable. It certainly won't save consumers any money. You can be sure of that, Chris. But it may not be as penal as it might otherwise have been. Certainly would have been if there had been no deal and we'd been facing the full customs tariff barrier.
After all the hype and the headlines, you know, there was brinkmanship, there was a little bit of bluffing on both sides. Do you think it was always inevitable that we would have got some sort of deal like this, or were we that close to a no deal?
I think there was a degree of political posturing all the way through, and no deal is ever concluded before it absolutely has to be, as every side looks to maintain as strong a position as possible. But there's no doubt by the time Christmas Eve rolled round and the deal that looked like it was imminent for several days still hadn't happened, well then there was certainly great concern building, I know, in the meat industry and the dairy industry across the country. That's how the negotiation went. Once it happened and there was the generous sigh of relief and the temptation to conclude, well, look, it was always going to be this way. And I suppose if you look at the logic, then it was always going to be that way. But again, if you look at the logic and pure economic logic, there was no reason that Brexit ever happened. So given that it did happen, we could take nothing for granted until the deal was actually signed off.
And finally, just to point out that there will be a review after some 5 years.
There will indeed. And the other thing that's worth noting, and, you know, anyone that's hoping that this New Year's Eve, that that's the last that they'll hear you and I talking about Brexit, I'm afraid that's not going to be the case. This is going to be an issue that'll be with us for the rest of our working careers, I expect, because as well as the review in 5 years' time, when everything's negotiated and looked at again, there's also a rolling review going on because, you know, there's an administration council that's been put in place, a joint UK-EU council to do this, and there's going to be a series of 18 specialist advisory committees. And all of those committees all the time are going to be looking at how they can make trade between Britain and the European Union more seamless, more straightforward.
Phelim O'Neill there, the markets and EU specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views, the last of the year. Many thanks to all those who contributed to the programme over the past year. From me, Chris Ashmore, have a very happy new year.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Looking at the weather forecast, rain, hail and sleet easing this evening. That'll lead to a generally dry night with clear spells and variable cloud. Scattered showers persisting mainly along northern and western coasts. Lowest temperatures -2 to +2 degrees Celsius. With northerly winds dropping back light to moderate overnight, they'll continue fresh in coastal areas. It'll be dry and bright tomorrow overall with a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Highest temperatures tomorrow 3 to 5 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northerly winds. Main stories in brief. 12 additional COVID-19 related deaths confirmed this evening. 1,620 new cases confirmed. Donegal's total today 51, down substantially on yesterday. The 14-day incidence rate in the county now 532.1 cases per 100,000 people. For the first time in several weeks, Donegal doesn't have the highest incidence rate in the country. That now falls to Monaghan with a rate of 553.9. The national incidence rate is 296.7. And it's been confirmed that close contacts of COVID-19 cases will no longer be asked to undertake tests. Dr. Tony Holohan said the change in policy is to protect test capacity. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Emma Rose is back with news tomorrow and over the weekend. But in the meantime, from myself, Donal, and from Michaela, from Catherine, from Emma Rose, and from Greg, have a very happy and peaceful new year. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Thursday evening, the 31st of December. The death has taken place of Bridget Farron, Pound Street, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, please. The death has taken place at his residence of John Campbell, Kingarrow, Fintown. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 12 noon in St. Columbkill's Chapel, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Danny McGee, 18, Mount Syne, Strabane, formerly of 35 Rolston Avenue, Waterside, Derry. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed via the parish webcam, millmountparish.com/webtv.html. The death has taken place of Manus McLaughlin, 3 Glen Road, Strabane. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has taken place of John Duher, Conyborough Road, Lifford. Funeral from his home on Saturday afternoon at 12:20 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com/webcam. And the death has taken place of Rosemary Campbell, to let Burt. Funeral service in St. Dingus's Church Burt tomorrow with burial in Burt Cemetery. Flowers welcome or donations if desired to Ornalai Lochswilly Lifeboat Station, St. Doran's Road, Buncrana. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please.